Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 92, and it's a Monday, April 23rd, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, where we talk about gay news, geek stories, and bizarre topics. Ray, I'm a little under the weather right now. I'm having allergies, and it's really bad. Are you having the same?
I had that the other weekend when I was kind of sick, but I got over it pretty quick.
Yeah, good for you. It's still okay. I'm okay, but, you know, Claritin works so far for me. So anyway, last weekend, we didn't do much, right? We got bored Saturday. We just hung out.
I know.
Yeah.
And dinner for you, Julio, and Alfred.
That was pretty good pork chops, right? It's very yummy.
Yeah.
Very good.
My pork chops always bring the chasers to the yard.
And if you have to teach me, you're going to have to charge?
Yeah.
I guess so. And then Sunday, you know what? It's really horrible. We always lose. Our team always lose. I thought we're going to...
Just remember, you beat Lewis's team last week.
Is that good enough? Actually, we lost against the Silver Balls. It's a team called Silver Balls. Why? Because they are...
They're all white
older.
Men?
No, well, not really. Well, lots of older people there. They're 50 and above, I think. Anyway, so... Yeah, we lost even against them. So, and we have some young people in our team. Anyway, it was sad. But it's okay. It's just a game. We always say that when we lose, right?
That's right. It's just a game.
That's right.
If you're a loser. If you're the winner, then you're the winner.
The winner, yeah. Anyway, so yeah, we also, Ray and I went, we hung out after the game, so I had to eat Filipino food, so
yeah.
Of course, well, no one would want to go.
Filipino food.
You don't want to go to Filipino restaurants.
No Filipino food for me.
Why? Is it too greasy?
It's some of it's just not, well, it is very greasy, but some of it's just not very appealing to me.
Really?
And I made the mistake of going to Taco Bell Saturday anyhow, so my stomach was already messed up.
Oh, okay. But anyway, so it was good. And then Ray and I just thought about, let's have a drink at the I don't know that area. I forget. Town and Country near Memorial City.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of hoity-toity. We kind of looked around sur le table, looking at things
that we're not going to buy. Anything? No. Did he buy me any La Crocette pottery cookware? No. Mm. Oh, he just walked through, looked, played with stuff, and then we left.
I don't want anything. Why would he even buy a $300 bowl? Good Lord. You still there?
But it's from Sur La Table.
Sur La Table, so. But anyway, it was fun just looking around. And we went to the bar. We just had a drink.
Yeah, we went to, what was that place called?
I forgot, see?
Something, the Bone.
Yeah. Anyway, it's by the...
Boneyard. The Boneyard.
Yard. It's called the Yard Place.
The Yard, yeah. Boneyard, yeah. I think. Because you got like you could get a Boneyard of beer.
Oh, okay. So we were there.
Plastic bone things.
It's a good thing we hung out there with clear view at the bear performer. He was singing in front of the kids who did not care what they're singing about. Good Lord. Poor kids. Poor performers.
Yeah. Nobody was paying attention to them. They were just being paid to perform and kids running and screaming in front of them.
Did you really get drunk? I don't think you got drunk. It's just a couple of margaritas. No, wait. What did you drink? Screwdrivers.
No, I had margaritas.
Those are margaritas. Mm-hmm. I just had a beer. What happened to your bed, by the way? Did you get your bed work?
I didn't work on it too much this weekend because I was just lazy. And me and Tamo did other stuff. So, but I worked on it some today. So I'm getting closer and closer. And if y'all hadn't heard to the other, listen on the other podcast, I got this big metal bed that was given to me. But it had been sitting outside for a little bit, so it needs to be sanded down good and painted. So that's what I'm in the process of doing. And it's so big and so heavy that it takes kind of two people to move it around. So I have to like do a side, sand it down, paint it, and then get somebody to come help me flip it over and work on the other side. So,
oh, you're talking about the whole thing. It cannot be dismantled. It cannot be disassembled.
Well, yeah, it's disassembled now, but like,
but still.
The headboard is super huge and super heavy. It's all solid steel. The footboard solid steel. It's like a canopy bed, and it doesn't have like wood slats in it. It has metal slats in it.
So what's it gonna be? It's for sleeping.
Yeah, it's gonna be a bed for sleep. It's a bed.
It's a bed. I thought it's a dungeon bed or a. No.
Well, if you would like to use it for that, you can, but it could support somebody if you had a sling to put in it. Ah. But unless somebody buys me a sling for my birthday, I have no sling to use with it.
I could name some people who would buy you a sling. That would be awesome.
Who?
I don't know. Maybe Julio?
Yeah, right.
Okay. So anything else exciting this weekend?
No. Well, let's see. I worked on my car, and other than you getting me drunk Sunday afternoon at the bar, I guess nothing.
Yeah. Have to catch up on some TV shows myself. Okay, so let's go. How about we go to our stories now, Ray?
Yep.
Okay.
And I will take the first gay.
Of course.
The creepy gay sex for rent domestic slave operation hiding in plain sight on Facebook.
Okay.
Come on, Mark Zuckerberg. BuzzFeed News just published a damning investigative piece titled, "Landlords are offering young men free rooms in return for sex, and Facebook is letting it happen." And it definitely doesn't make the social media giant look good. It all started when reporter Patrick Sturdwick stumbled upon a Facebook group called Gay Houseboys and Those Who Hire Them. The page describes itself as a group for gay men seeking gay boys to work for them as houseboys, and for gay houseboys seeking employment, and claims to have a strict no nudes picked and no hookup policies. But Sturdwick quickly learned that is not the case. He writes, "In multiple interviews with the men exchanging sex for rent and groups trying to deal with the crisis, BuzzFeed News has also uncovered a spectrum of experiences that goes far beyond what has so far been documented, with social media, hookup apps, and chemsex parties facilitating everything. At best, impoverished young men are seeking refuge in places where they are at risk for sexual exploitation. At worst, teenagers are being kept in domestic prisons where all personal boundaries are breached, where their lives are in danger. 22-year-old Denholm Spur is one of the young men who got sucked into that dangerous vortex.
Sucked?
Spending 3 years hopping from one sex-for-rent arrangement to another. I was really vulnerable, he says. I didn't have the capacity to make decisions that were in my own interest. Often the arrangements also included participating in group sex and PNP parties, which he felt obligated to partake in."
What's PNP, right? I would
party and play. That's party. Using drug party.
That's a drug party, okay.
Yeah, well, they're using drugs and stuff. "I would just go from one to the next house because I thought, if I leave, I got nowhere to go," he says. "There were times," he says, "I went under, lost consciousness is what he's talking about going under, on G, and then I woke up woke up, and someone was fucking me." Spur says he felt powerless to say no for fear he would be thrown out. "I felt more worried about upsetting them than I did my own self-respect," he says. "I didn't have the strength to say no. I became what I felt people wanted. I branded myself as a sexual being that other people fed off. I felt that's what I needed to do." Sturdwick spoke to several other young men who also found themselves victims in these arrangements and ended up raped, beaten, drugged, infected with HIV, and treated as domestic slaves. BuzzFeed News says that Facebook has promised that a representative would comment, but so far this hasn't happened.
Okay, so I did. I checked it out. I could not find it. It's not a public. I guess it's a closed group.
Well, I think Facebook took it down after the story came out.
After the story.
They closed it down so you can't find it anymore.
So this is the definition, really, of sex trafficking, really.
Well, yeah, it is a type of sex trafficking, yes.
Yeah, because you're advertising something. And this, don't you think this is kind of connected also for with what they did with Craigslist and you know, that online advertising just like that is it's a haven for drug sex trafficking. That's why they took out the M4M, M4M.
Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of this stuff, I mean, it could be, I mean, some of these guys got raped, beaten. I'm sure there's some that got really good experiences out of it and some that went through hell and back with it.
Yeah, like.
Because, you know, some gay men are just nasty.
Yeah, and that is really nasty, taking advantage of good. I guess it's consensual. But still,
it's consensual. But usually these guys that are doing this have nowhere else to go.
Yeah,
and they're doing what they need to get by, and then they get locked into this mindset that if I don't do this, I'm going to be out on the streets.
Yeah, so there's this expectation that they'll, you know, for shelter, they just provide sex. So it's really sad that kids or even these young boys are even experiencing this at the. They always think that they have no choice, and actually they do. They do have a choice.
They do have a choice, but sometimes that choice might be harder than it is to leave that comforting house where they get drugs and food, and at least somebody pays them some attention, or be out on the streets, because there's not always necessarily the social networks out there or the help groups that need to be there to help all these kids.
And these bastards just really take the advantage of these kids, and it's really sad that still happens. Okay, so let's go to the next story.
All right.
Threatening letters persuade gay teacher to leave Seneca School. So I looked it up. This is in Kansas. This school is in Kansas. So
that's what it says in the article.
Yep. So the threats began shortly after Michael Hill revealed he is gay in October on National Coming Out Day. Following months of harassment, the Nemaha Central High School visual arts teacher and lifelong Kansan, that's what you call people from Kansas, Kansan, has abandoned his job and home state for the more welcoming environment of Palm Springs, California. Of course, Palm Springs is a very gay-friendly place. Good for him to move there. So things got ugly, Hill said, and I started to fear for my own well-being. A series of hate-filled letters told Hill his openly gay lifestyle wouldn't be tolerated by the Seneca community. If he didn't leave, one letter promised, the anonymous letter would take matters into my own hands. His car tire was punctured with screwdriver. He found faggot written in the dust of his car. Hill said he reported the incidents to police, who couldn't identify the culprit. He was too afraid to leave his apartment at night and suffered from severe mental stress. So the school district initially was supportive, he said, allowing him to take medical leave in mid-January. But after 7 weeks of unpaid leave, Hill was told it was time to resign or return to class. It was very frustrating, he said, that my option was to pack up and move. Hill said he grew up in Sabitha and taught in the Highland School District for 6 years before taking the job at Nemaha Valley in 2009. He first told his family he was gay in July of last year. On October 14th, Hill made a public statement revealing he was gay shortly after someone took a photo of him dining with a male friend. Maybe he hooked up from Grindr or something. The photo quickly...
You can't say that, Maynard, because that's assuming something about somebody.
Yeah, it is an assumption. Yeah.
And what's wrong if he did have a date with somebody from Grindr?
Oh, didn't say anything
wrong with that.
Nothing wrong at all. No.
You're making it sound like it's something bad.
No, I just said maybe he met him through Grindr. What's bad about
you're
that?
Slut shaming, Maynard. The way you said it, you're
really, really,
really.
Would it matter if I say? Would it be different if I said he must have met him through a dating app?
It could have been somebody who went to school with and been a lifelong friend.
Okay, sure. It could be. These are all assumptions, right? So it's not a fact. It's an assumption. Yeah. So the photo quickly circulated on Snapchat. There you go, Snapchat. Well, not them, but the other people, I guess. He said as he became the target of cyberbullying. See, this is what sucks, though. Even for adults, you know, cyberbullying by their students?
Or, well, they didn't say the students did it, but it was circulating on Snapchat. So the assumption is that a lot of the students were circulating it.
Yeah. So I'm thinking if you do that, because I don't think Snapchat is being used by older people, so young people use Snapchat, don't they?
So
anyway.
Well, I mean, you know, anyway, it happened.
Okay. So the harassment led to a disruptive classroom environment, he said, and eroded respect for him as a professional. Oh, that really sucked. So Nemaha Central Unified School District 115 Superintendent Daryl Coleman said he couldn't comment on personal matters that the incidents targeting Hill happened away from school. Yeah, it is away from school. It's his private life, yeah. So the district doesn't tolerate harassment, discrimination, or bullying. He said, and his schools teach students that such behavior is inappropriate. We feel like we're trying to do our part, Coleman said. It's unfortunate that society has not followed suit. Letters to Hill repeatedly said he should be fired for adopting an immoral... What? For an immoral lifestyle? Oh, it is Kansas. I guess that's what happens. So. Fags are not welcome, one letter said, and he should watch his back. Oh, God. Can't believe this still happens. Homosexuals should not be teaching our kids, another letter said. In fact, I don't believe they should be teachers at all. They are perverts and predators. They are not acceptable role models for our kids. Right. Coleman said, long time, this district substitute has filled in for Hill this semester and worked with Hill while he was on leave. A replacement for the upcoming school year has accepted an offer from the district, but the offer hasn't yet submitted to the school board for approval. Hill announced his resignation in Facebook with images of the three letters he received saying, "People need to know this kind of ugly hatred still exists in the world." More than 1,000 people reacted to the post, and about 400 comments offer love and well wishes. In an interview, Hill said he has found Palm Springs to be an accepting and open community. "It's a good place for me to be right now," he said, "at this point in my life." So that's good. Palm Springs, I guess it's a good move. And, you know, Palm Springs is a very gay-friendly city.
Yes, but the sad thing is he had to leave just his because home. Of who he was.
I know, that's true. So,
I mean, people still think just because we got gay marriage and everything, the battle's over. It's not.
No, no, not at all. But you know, think of it though. If it was, it is really your home, and you don't really feel welcome there. Do you still want to stay?
Well, no, but I'm saying if he'd never. The other thing is, if he'd never publicly come out, would this have happened to him?
It wouldn't. I mean, he wouldn't have left if he didn't.
I mean,
he'd been
teaching there for what, 6 years, it said, and nothing had ever happened, and he didn't do this until he come out and publicly, and then he started getting all these threats.
Yeah, and it still worth it though if you want to be yourself and then the place you're staying in?
Well, I know it's hard to be yourself in some places, and it's still that way across the U.S. I mean, we're kind of lucky here in Houston because we're kind of in a little bubble here. But once you get outside of Houston Metro, it all goes back to being same old, pretty much in some areas.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying also that Palm Springs is really famous for being gay friendly, and
yes, it's very gay friendly.
I guess so. He would be at home there.
Yeah, and I hope everything works out for him, and ends up having an incredible career there.
Most probably, yeah. All right, so let's go to the next one, Ray. This is
okay,
a long one.
On to the geek.
Okay.
All right, folks. For all of you that are looking for dates out there, it's official. There are too many men in the world. Nothing like this has happened in human history. A combination of cultural preferences, government decree, and modern medical technology in the world's two largest countries has created a gender imbalance on a continental scale, men outnumbering women by 70 million in China and India. The consequences of having too many men now coming of age are far-reaching. Beyond an epidemic of loneliness, the imbalance distorts labor markets, drives up saving rates in China, and drives down consumption, artificially inflates certain property values, and parallels increases in violent crime, trafficking of prostitution in a growing number of locations. Those consequences are not confined to China and India, but reach deep into their Asian neighbors and distort the economies of Europe and the Americas as well. Barely recognized, the ramifications of too many men are only starting to come into sight. In the future, there will be millions of men who can't marry, and that could pose a very big risk to society, warns a leading demographer at Xiaotong University.
Xiaotong.
Out of China's population of 1.4 billion, there are nearly 34 million more males than females, the equivalent of almost the entire population of California or Poland, who will never find wives and only rarely have sex. China's official one-child policy, in effect from 1979 to 2015, was a huge factor in creating this imbalance, as millions of couples were determined that their child should be a son. India, a country that has deeply held preference for sons and male heirs, has an excess of 37 million males, according to this most recent census. The number of newborn female babies compared with males has continued to plummet. Even as the country grows more developed and prosperous, the imbalance creates a surplus of bachelors and exacerbates human trafficking, both for brides and possibly prostitution. Officials attribute this to the advent of sex-selective technology in the last 30 years, which is now banned but still in widespread practice. In the two countries, 50 million excess males are under the age of 20. In the four sections below are the personal tales that show how the imbalance has affected. Village life and mental health among men, loneliness and depression are widespread. Villages are emptying out. Men are learning to cook and perform other chores long relegated to women, and this leads to them having stagnant lives. Housing prices and saving rates. Bachelors are furiously building houses in China to attract wives, and prices are soaring. But otherwise, they are not spending, and that in turn fuels kind of huge trade surplus. In India, there's the opposite effect. Because brides are scarce, families are under less pressure to save for expensive dowries, the desperate effort to land a bride. Human trafficking. Human trafficking of brides is on the rise. Foreign women are being recruited and lured to China, effectively creating similar imbalances in China's neighbors, importing a bride. Public safety. With the increase in men has come a surge in sexual crime in India and concerns about the rise in other countries and other crimes in both countries. Harassment of schoolgirls in India has some towns sparked off an effort to push back, but at a cost of restricting them to more protective lives, taking a stand over harassment. So here's some questions I have about all this to think about what's going on here. So something to think about here. At one time, a large number of female children were adopted out of the country, mainly Chinese women giving up their female daughters to adoption agencies, and those girls being adopted out of the country. A lot of them were adopted here in the U.S. In order to find a mate, the males will have to seek outside of their country for a wife. Would the country that allowed this offer special incentives to get these females who are adopted out to return?
Yeah, I could see now what you're saying about this, that they don't want, in their families, in the Chinese families, they don't want females, so they would adopt them out. So that's a minus from their population.
Yeah, but now all these Chinese girls that are living in other countries, would they offer them incentives to return back to China to be able to have more women, to bring more women into the country?
Oh, that's what they do, huh? Okay.
Well, no, I'm saying, would they do that? I mean, China allowed all these children to be adopted out and allowed people to give up their daughters in preference of men, and now they got a surplus of 30 million males and no females for them.
And now you think you're asking if maybe they would do a buyback or something?
Well, it's kind of like a buyback, but I'm just saying, you know, a lot of girls are adopted out and they're here in this country and other countries. If the Chinese government offered them an incentive of a house and a place to live and education and all this other stuff, would they desire to go back to the country to help match up this quota that's there, that they would be the currency in, since not talking about prostitution, but because they are needed there
as a workforce, maybe? Yeah,
well, no, not as a workforce, as wives. I mean, they could be in the workforce too, but I mean, that's the whole thing. Is China gonna change some of its policies to try to recruit these women back, recruit women into the country for these.
Yeah, well, I'm saying workforce. It could be a wife, or it could be also skills. Bring them back. So does it have to be Chinese?
I'm just saying there's a large number of female babies adopted out, and if as Chinese government, I'd want more Chinese people coming back into the country. So
yeah, it's really I really think that they should just change their paradigm again. What they did back in 1979, they just reverse it back to have the all the children you need. Maybe that would help. I mean, I don't know if it's going to be. There's going to be imbalance like this for the long, long time.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be repercussions for generations to come. Because, like they said, most of these kids are still under 20 of these 30 million men. Yeah. So, in the next 20 or 30 years, what is it going to become like in China? Mm-hmm. The other thing is traveling and living abroad costs money. So, only rich men will be able to do this, which causes an even bigger class divide economically. Would there be a mass exodus from these countries to relocate where the chances of finding a wife is easier? Mm. I mean, so what about all the men who are not financially able to travel outside the country do anything? I mean, are they just going to stay there and end up not having wives or a life and just, mm-hmm. Die alone?
Or because
you also got to look at, if you're not having children, there's nobody there to take care of you as you get older. As gays have come to realize.
Really? Well, gays, yeah, but this is not necessarily a gay problem. It's really...
Well, no, it's not a gay problem, but...
Oh, you're just saying that gays don't have the problem.
I'm saying that, like, gay men who don't have children,
who's gonna take
even with
them.
Financial planning and stuff, it's very hard to find people to take care of them as they get older.
Yep. Okay. I see your point.
So
there.
So these men won't have children to take care of them when they get older. Unless the government changes this way, but that's going to cost a lot of government resources to prepare for housing elderly these men as they get elderly. So
you know what they can do? They can probably do the reverse. They would prefer women instead of men.
Yeah, but it's too late now. They can't do that, Maynard. I mean, all this is here.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying.
I mean, by the time they change that and reverse that curve and get more women, all these men will be 40, 50.
Mm-hmm. So when they have kids, it would be logarithmic at that point.
But that's another thing. Is this going to change the cultural paradigm of wanting men over women? Because now you're having a son, but there's no chance of him having a wife.
Yep. But then if you start having babies and giving up the men, giving up the boys, the question is, will that increase? What if they say minimum of two children and preferably their girls? And then if it's a boy, that's the one they would have them adopted off. they're kind of the reverse. I don't know.
But that's changing a culture overnight. Yeah. And that doesn't happen overnight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's true.
I mean, the whole economic mess of China restricting families to have couples to have one child's already screwed the economy up.
Yeah.
So, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, how is this going to affect how these males see gender roles? Now they'll have to perform the roles that are usually associated with, and I do air quotes, women's work, but will this change their views about, some men's like, oh, I ain't doing that, that's women's work. But now they'll have to do that. And if they do find a spouse, will they be still willing to do that to make, because they understand what their spouse goes through to take care of the house and all this other stuff?
Yeah, I think it's in the article also that the men are now taking care of themselves, and that sometimes
they're
relegated to the women. Yeah,
yeah,
like cooking laundry and stuff. I don't know, things like that. But the men are already doing that. Bachelors do that already.
Yeah,
and
let's not also think about the men that get married. They're always going to have to worry about somebody trying to take their wife from them, or like they're talking about rape and other things going on. So they're going to have to secure their families, and if they have daughters, secure them from these people that could possibly be a threat to them.
Yeah.
Okay, and this is a big one. For the gay men in these two countries that are closeted, will it make them more open to finding same-sex relationships and help change the laws that deal with being in same-sex relationships?
Oh, since there's a lot of men now.
Yeah, and how that views. I mean, even if there is, they said there's, what, 70,000? So 10% of 70,000 is, what, 7,000?
7,000?
Yeah, is that right? 10% of 70,000 is 7,000?
Correct.
That's okay. Right. All right. So say even if 20% of them, say 14,000 of them are gay or think they're gay or they're bi. Is that going to open up the field for them to be more open about that and finding a partner that's same sex instead of a female partner?
Yeah, so that's a good question because I think in China it's not really that popular either. Although there are gay people there, but it's like any other Catholic Asian countries like the Philippines that they may be around, but that it's really not necessarily frowned upon, but it's something that's less desired.
But is this going to change that? I mean, these men get lonely and they find comfort in each other. That's got to be changed. That's going to have to change something.
Yeah, you know, so you're saying that these people are going to be more empowered.
That's what I'm saying. Do you think that's what the question is? Do you think they would be more empowered to react on these urges?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
And have same-sex relationships and be more open about being in a relationship with a male because that's the only choice they have.
Yeah, because
really? Lots of the women I mean, because there's around. No wife for them.
There's no women around. Yeah. So they just end up having either bromance or actually become gay or they are well, gay they and no not become gay.
You don't become gay, man.
Wait. I understand. What I'm saying is the gay people are more empowered to come out because
yes.
What I'm saying they would be braver.
Yeah. But it also can change married lives. I mean, if you're a woman and your husband cheats on you with somebody else, then you're prime meat. So you could just divorce him and move on to something much better and bigger. So that's going to change the dynamics that way too, I think.
Yeah, because once you leave a wife, for example, you get divorced, I guess.
Yeah, that's separated, 30 million. You can't. That's 30 million men standing in line for her.
Yeah, for her. But there's not much for you.
Exactly. Yeah. So is that going to mean men are going to treat their wives better? I mean, is that going to change that whole dynamic in relationships? Because a lot of men take their wives for advantage, and of course women put up with it, but, you know, that's another discussion, but... So, but the last point I got is a friend of mine from China stated that the one-child household has made a bad financial effect on children by creating a place where a couple has to support and take care of four parents because they could. You got couple A and couple B; they both have one child.
Yeah.
All right. Couple A's child and couple B's child get married. Well, now. That those children have to take care of four people above them.
Yep. It's not a shared...
Because it's not shared among siblings to help out and do stuff. You're responsible for it, you and your wife, and that's it, because there's nobody else.
Somebody has to do the math, though. I'm still intrigued by the idea of what if they change the paradigm. I know it's not overnight, Ray, okay? But if they start policy, maybe, just doing the math, what if they do start it like at least two child and preferably women, preferably.
Well, I mean, I think they could do that, but still, that you're on the leading edge of all these men coming to age, and by the time you get those girls old enough to be wives, then these men are in their 40s, 50s.
Yeah, and they can still have babies.
Well, they can still have babies, but, I mean, ain't everybody like Timo. They don't like some old man.
Not too many. But I don't know. Somebody has to do the math. I mean, I'm sure Neil deGrasse Tyson has
done the math. Well, I think that's the whole thing. They did the math and thought they were getting somewhere, and now they've screwed that up, and now they're stuck with a pickle, I mean, in both countries.
Yeah.
And I'd like to see what the numbers are here in the U.S., how many men and stuff. Because the one thing that when I was talking about this article on Facebook with some friends, My grandmother always said, as soon as you see that there's more, she's always said, if you go into like a classroom when you're in school and there's more men than there are women in that class, there's going to be a war. And she lived by that. That every time the male population gets higher than the female population, that there was going to be war. Mm-hmm. So, is this going to cause a war? I mean, are we going to have the worldwide war of Troy? I mean, because these 70 million men from these two countries don't have wives, so they're going to start invading countries to take their resources and their women.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have something for you here, Ray. As of 2010 census population, this is 2010, so it's 8 years old now. So 157 million were female. That's 50.8%, while 151.8 million were male, 49.2%. So we have a little higher population of women than men in the U.S.
Yeah.
I guess we're okay. We're 50-50. Pretty much 50-50.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah, that's good. That's good that we have a pretty stable ratio. So unlike China. Yeah, I remember that time in China, it is like that. Also in the Philippines, I remember back then that it was also talked about that there should be this overpopulation in the Philippines. No, actually the issue in the Philippines is it's over concentration, which is more in Manila, where there's a lot of space in other places in the Philippines. And I was in this symposium. I was in this in an auditorium. There was a talk by the mayor of Manila back then, or Makati, and he had about 7 children. The other speaker had 5 children. So they were not following that only one child or only 2 children in their family. So yeah, I have friends who have 2 children or 1 child only. So I could see that right now that could be a problem in the far future if every household has only 1 child, or one husband and 1 wife, they only have 1 child. There's not enough to replace them.
Well, I mean, at some point, just because of population control, it's going to have to be regulated, or we're going to have to learn to get off this planet really quick and move out to other planets, which is the big sci-fi thing. But only Elon Musk and a couple of the others are the only ones that can afford to do that. It's talking about colonizing Mars and stuff. Yep. So, but it's coming.
Yep.
I mean, we either have to leave this planet, and because we're destroying it anyhow environmentally, so we're going to eventually have to leave it anyow, or we're going to all die off. So,
anyway, so that's out of topic now, Ray. That's already Mars now. Let's go to the next one, Ray.
All right, that's all you.
Okay,
so you get your penis plans,
Ray. There's hope for you. Okay,
why is there hope for me? I got a perfectly nice penis. I just need to lose some. I just need to lose some fat, and my penis will be fine.
Oh, okay. So Johns Hopkins performs the first total penis and scrotum transplant. This is from Engadget.com, so it is a geek. So the first U.S. penis transplant. It's in the U.S. Oh my God. Okay, the first U.S. penis transplant was successfully performed in 2016. Last year, a uterus transplant recipient gave birth for the first time in the U.S. Also. Now, doctors at Johns Hopkins University have successfully transplanted an entire penis and scrotum to a young serviceman who sustained injuries in Afghanistan, resulting in the loss of his genitals. We are hopeful that this transplant will help restore near normal urinary and sexual functions for this young man, said Johns Hopkins. WP Andrew Lee, MD, in a statement. 9 plastic surgeons and 2 urological specialists took 14 hours to transplant a deceased donor's entire penis and scrotum, minus the testicles, so there are no balls, along with a partial abdominal wall to the young man, who wishes to remain anonymous. It's a real mind-boggling injury to suffer. It is not an easy one to accept, said the veteran in the statement. When I first woke up, I believe I felt finally more normal, with a level of confidence as well. Confidence like, finally, I'm okay now. This kind of transplant, called vascularized composite allotransplantation. Wow.
Say that 3 times fast.
Vascularized composite allotransplantation. Vascularized composite allotransplantation. Vascularized composite allotransplantation. is another alternative to using a patient's own tissues to reconstruct the penis, which typically needs a prosthetic implant, which can introduce infection. To achieve full function, like erections, the current transplant recipient is on a course of immunosuppressive medication to prevent rejection of the transplanted tissue. So I hope it succeeds further, you know.
And I do too. I mean, I think I wish the best for this young man. Because as men, we weigh a lot of who we are on our penis. I mean, that's why penis size is such a big deal, and erectile dysfunction is such a big deal with men. So because it's all a part of who we are. I mean,
yep. So do you think hypothetically people will be, if ever the media finds out about them, or maybe Pornhub or whatever, do you think people would?
Well, I don't think that's up to him. I mean, that's up to him if he wants to do something like that.
Yeah,
if he wants to capitalize on this that happened to him, then that's his call. But I don't know. I think if he wants to remain anonymous, I think he wants to stay anonymous. So because he don't want a bunch of press about this.
Yeah.
My thought is, what's going to happen with people that once this is done a couple more times, people are going to be like, "Oh, I got a small penis. I'll go get another one."
Or a new one, you mean?
A new one, yeah. Well, another one. Another penis. A new penis, yeah.
A new one.
I mean, because I can see it now. There are going to be a lot of privileged white people walking around, and they're going to drop their pants, and their pasty ass is going to have this big old black schlong flinging from it and saying, "Come on, ladies, I'll show you what I can do." So I see it happening.
That would be interesting.
I know how crazy ass white people are. Some would be. They will do it, so.
All right, let's go to the bizarre ray. We have a couple for you guys.
I got a couple. Do you want to take one of these out since we're running kind of long?
Yeah, okay. Which one do we lose?
I think we lose the kangaroo. I think we should talk about the exorcism by cell phone.
Oh, really? I like the kangaroo one. But
all right, No.
Let's skip the kangaroo. Let's go ahead.
Okay. Exorcism by cell phone. Beating the devil, no pun intended, in the 21st century.
It's not beating off the devil. It's just beating.
Yeah. Well, some people do that. About 200 aspiring exorcists gathered on Monday for a week-long course in casting out demons. Not today, Satan! Including by cell phone, if necessary, amid increased demand for the service among Roman Catholics. Participants, many of them priests, will attend lectures and talks on a range of topics, including witchcraft in Africa, how to tell the difference between demonic possession and mental illness, and a step-by-step guide to casting out demons. Cardinal Ernest Simoni of Albania drew strong interest in the first session by citing the use of cell phones and exorcisms. "They call me and we speak, and that's how I do it," the 89-year-old Simoni told Reuters after his address, explaining how he would read the prayers of exorcism in Latin over the phone, just as he would if performing the lengthy rite in person. Although no official figures are available, Catholic Church officials say the number of demonic possessions is on the rise. The number of exorcisms has definitely increased over the years, as a request to carry out exorcisms has increased, said Professor Giuseppe Ferrari, an organizer of the course on exorcism and the prayer of liberation at the Vatican-approved Pontiff Regina Apostolorum University in Rome. Excuse me, allergies. "This course is useful because it prepares the priests who carry out exorcism to have a complete vision, a multiple discipled view of the situation," he added. Father Palilla, an exorcist for the Diocese of Palermo, told Vatican Radio in February that he had performed about 50 exorcisms in the past 2.5 years, and we just thought it was a TV show. As well as licensed exorcists, theologians, psychologists, and medical doctors, criminologists, and church historians also addressed the course participants. So, I guess the Exorcist TV show just got some validity to it.
Yeah, I don't even... They were saying how to tell the difference between demonic possession and mental illness. And you know what?
I think somebody who's a very thin line...
Yeah, for somebody who is, you know, kind of secular in this, it's all mental illness, I think. Well, do you believe in demonic possessions, Ray?
If I believe in God, I have to believe in the devil and that there are demonic possessions out there.
I don't believe in demonic possessions. I have a couple of friends.
That's because you're going to hell.
I don't think so. Yeah, demonic possession.
And I heard about this, and I heard the stories about the priest in the Philippines trying to exorcise your demons, Mr. Altar Boy.
Oh really? Oh, not that kind. No, I don't know. It's something very. It's very. If you've seen Exorcists, what other movies that has demonic possessions? Exorcists, sure, of course, sure. What are
there's a bunch of movies that have demon possessions in them and stuff, and they're all kind of involved with some kind of exorcist or something, like Annabelle. That's about an inanimate object that gets possessed by a demon and then goes on to take over people's souls. So,
mm-hmm. I mean, but no, what I do find bizarre here is that cell phones are used to exorcise. Through cell phone, so it's on speakerphone?
I guess so.
I think that's the only way. Okay. It's just, and these are bizarre. So, 89-year-old even does this exorcism, and I don't know. I just couldn't think. I don't know if this is even possible. I just think it's all mental illness. That's what I think of it. Unless they can really twist their bodies. But that's what they do, right? They're supposed to be twisting their bodies, twisting their necks. Is that what it is? Well,
I mean, that's a lot of movie sensationalism, I believe. But, I mean, I don't know. I've never been in it. As far as I know, I've never been possessed by a demon. Nor do I want to be possessed by a demon. Not today, Satan. So I really don't want to know. And I don't, you know, even though I'm curious, I don't know if I ever want to really see a live exorcism.
Yeah, me neither. I don't think so.
Because I've seen people, and I've looked in their eyes, and I'm like, that is not a human being looking back at me.
Really? You've seen people like that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I don't think I've seen that.
Well, Maynard, you don't pay attention to half stuff going on around you.
I
always a demon can walk up and screw you in the butt, and you wouldn't even know what was going on until after it was over with.
Sounds hot. Anyway, so I don't know. I've seen people with the weird eyes. I don't know.
I didn't say they had weird eyes. I said I looked in their eyes and I could.
Oh, okay. You can tell
in was not human.
You can tell in their eyes. Okay, maybe.
I didn't say their eyes were colored or they were spitting pea soup or anything like that. I've seen people and I've looked in their eyes and I know that was not a human being looking back at me.
Right, or maybe just really bitches. Okay, so let's go. Yeah, those are the stories. Take care of her. Yeah, if you skip the kangaroo one. Yeah, it's about the kangaroo being died, and he because people wanted to jump, so people just threw rocks
Chinese
at the kangaroo.
Chinese people threw rocks at the kangaroo and injured it, and it died of infection because they were throwing rocks at it because they wanted to jump.
Yeah.
He should have jumped up and beat some little Chinese ass, what he should have done.
Yep. It's in Fuzuku.
See, that's why they got 35 million more men than women, because they're evil.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so it's sad
that kangaroos.
A kangaroo had to die. Have you tasted kangaroo before, Ray?
Oh my God, Maynard.
What?
Nothing. Can we end the show? It's already going on 50 minutes.
Oh yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, you added so many stories, Ray. And we talked about
a lot. I had the same stories. We just discussed them.
We discussed the other one really, really long. That's just what it
Talking
is.
Talking about demons walking up on you, Timo just scared the shit out of me.
Oh, my God.
I didn't finish this show, man. I got to go clean my underwear.
Oh, my God. He shit his pants. All right. Special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio. And happy birthday to my baby, even though he just scared the shit out of me.
Happy birthday, Timo.
I know. And, he'll be 18 finally.
Nice. So go to the official website at gaygeekbizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys in the next show. Bye.